Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter number 7, text number 12. Saha vai nivritti dharmena vasudeva anukampaya bhagavat Bhakti yogena tirodhate shanai iha savai nivritti dharmena vasudeva anukampaya bhagavad bhakti yogena Tirodhate shanayariha Savai nevritti dharmena Vasudevam nukampaya Bhagavad bhakti yogena Tirodhate shanayariha Savai nivritti dharmena Vasudevam nukampaya Bhagavad bhakti yogena Tirodhate shanayariha Saha
that
vai Also, nivritti, detachment, dharmena, by engagement, vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anukampaya, by the mercy of, bhagavat, in relation with the Personality of Godhead. Bhakti yogena by linking up tirodhate diminishes shanai gradually iha in this existence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. Purport. The quivering quality of material existence, which comes from identification with matter or from thinking oneself under the material influence of philosophical speculation to be God, can be eradicated by devotional service to the Lord by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. As discussed in the first canto, because the application of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudev, invites pure knowledge, it quickly detaches one from the material conception of life and thus revives one's normal condition of spiritual existence, even in this life, and frees one from the material winds which cause one to quiver. Only knowledge and devotional service can elevate one toward the path of liberation. The development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything, without rendering devotional service, is considered fruitless labor, and one cannot get the desired result by such labor of love. Lord Vasudeva is pleased by devotional service only, and thus his mercy is realized by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Pure devotees of the Lord are transcendental to all material desires, including the desire for the results of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. If one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, he has to associate with pure devotees. Such association alone can, by degrees, release one from the quivering elements. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this purport, we see the word quiver or quivering three times. In this material world, everyone is quivering. They're in a fearful state, actually. Sometimes the bees become so frightened, they're just shaking with fear, literally quivering. But actually that quivering quality of the material nature, that fearful quality of the material nature, that unsteady quality of the material nature is always present at every minute. This is world of fear, described just like a lotus flower, or a lotus leaf, I mean to say. The water, the drop of water on the lotus leaf, is in a very unsteady situation. It can easily roll off the leaf. Wake up. So, we have to get out of this quivering position, the unsteady position of material consciousness. And that is achieved by coming to the transcendental platform, which is known as Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna consciousness is already there. It is nothing that is being imposed artificially on the living being. It's already there. You're already a pure devotee. But the difficulty is there's many, many layers of contamination covering our pure original state of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we are eternal associates of the Lord. Each and every one of us has a svarup or a spiritual identity in the spiritual world, but we have long time ago forgotten it. In fact, it is an immeasurable amount of time ago that we forgot who we actually were, or actually are, and have come into this quivering situation, always fearful in this material existence. Sometimes we're elevated to the post of a demigod, Indra. Sometimes we're degraded to the post of a germ, Indra, Gopa, germ. So we have so many varieties of situations. Sometimes we're a big person in this material world, and sometimes we're a very small living being in this material world. But in each and every situation, it is quivering position. So why we should hanker simply to increase our quivering? The materialists are doing that. They struggle hard to get some position, thinking that when they get some bigger position, then the quivering will go away, but actually they continue quivering. No matter how hard they try to achieve a position, a secure position in this material existence, they never can do so. They always remain frustrated. How uncertain is this material situation? Very, very uncertain position. At any minute, the rug can be pulled out from under us. And our so-called comfortable arrangement we had made for ourselves finished. So why invest our energy in that which is certain to fail? If you had advanced knowledge that one bank was going to go bankrupt, would you want to put your money in that bank? No. So why are we investing our energy in this material body? Okay. This is intelligence. To not do such foolish things. The difficulty is we're living in a society where this material body is glorified as the all in all. We are taught from the very beginning that we are this body. As soon as we're born, immediately they say, "Oh, he's such a cute little boy. Oh, she's such a darling little girl." You see, immediately, girl, boy, we're taught, you're a boy, you're a girl. From our very infanthood, we are trained to think, I'm this body. So we consider that our happiness is based on that bodily identification. So we spend the whole life trying to satisfy punak-punash-charvata-charvananam, chewing that which has already been chewed, but no matter how hard we squeeze, that material enjoyment, there's nothing there. There's no juice, there's no rust. It's simply dry. We're looking in the wrong place for happiness. Everybody, we're thinking, well, everybody else is looking for happiness here. It must be the right place. But you know what? This material world is called fool's paradise. Why we should follow the fools who are looking for happiness in this combination of the senses and the sense objects? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So why we should follow the fools, the rascals? We've been doing it for millions of lifetimes, and where has it gotten us? We're still suffering, isn't it? Has anybody ever found lasting peace and happiness by serving their material senses? Have you found it? Has anyone here in this room found actual happiness by serving their senses? Can anyone say they have found actual happiness by serving their senses? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Has anyone ever in this room you have found? Huh?
If anybody has found it, they won't be here.
Well, you never know. By chance, somebody might. We're getting confirmation because nobody here has found peace and happiness by serving their senses. So it's confirmed by all of you. Each and every one of you are confirming by your not answering positively to that question I asked, you're confirming that there is no happiness in this material world. It is simply dukkhalayam. It is a place of misery only. So, we're very much blessed here by the Srimad Bhagavatam with the knowledge of how the misconception of bodily consciousness, either with the gross body or the subtle body through philosophical speculation that I am God. We're very much blessed by the mercy of Krishna with the process of devotional service. Now, it's interesting here, we always hear about devotional service. And here it says, in the mode of detachment. Now it's interesting to note in this connection that devotional service is both for those who are attached and for those who are detached. It's described that of the four ashrams, sannyas is for those who are detached. Vanaprastha is for those who are detached. Grihastha life is for those who are attached. And brahmachari life is for both those who are detached and for those who are attached. Because the brahmachari can go either way. He can enter in grihastha life and then gradually become detached, or he can go straight in, become a sannyasi. But then it says here that it has to be done in a mode of detachment. You say, well, I'm a householder, so, you know, how can I do that? Actually, in Paris, Prabhupada, he asked Shyamasundar, he says, Shyamasundar, why are all the householders in Maya? Shyamasundar didn't know what to say. He said, because that is their position. So, we can't use that as an excuse. Everyone has to cultivate detachment, whether I'm a brahmachari, whether I'm a householder, whether I am vanaprastha or a sannyasi. We must cultivate this mood of detachment. Otherwise, the quivering won't go away. We're quivering because we're attached to this body, thinking my pleasure will come through these senses. That's why we're quivering. That's why we're nervous. We're in a fearful, nervous, quivering condition because I'm thinking that I will get pleasure. We're attached to the combination of the senses with the sense objects. So we must execute devotional service in the mode of detachment. Completely detached. That does not mean we walk away from our material responsibilities. One gentleman has written me a letter, and he is thinking, well, how is it possible to be Krishna conscious or become liberated when you're a householder? That after all, Krishna, he loves the brahmacharis more because they're detached. What's my hope? I'm a grihastha. What's my hope? I pointed out to him that the original recipient of the Bhagavad Gita is a householder. He's thinking, well, you know, I have to go to work, and how can I possibly be Krishna conscious? You know, I can chant 16 rounds, and I go to work, you know, I'm just totally... I'm totally immersed in a material atmosphere at my job, and you know, how is it possible I can be Krishna conscious when I have to go to work, you know? Well, the fact is that Arjuna wanted to quit going to work. He wanted to quit his job. But after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he kept his job. and offer the results to Krishna. So the perfect example, the original recipient of the Bhagavad Gita, which is our primary guidebook, primary introductory guidebook, and then Bhagavatam is our primary advanced guidebook. The Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, I mean to say, is spoken to a householder who, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he went ahead and did his normal occupation. He didn't quit his occupation. He went on the battlefield and killed people. That was his job. So, it's not that becoming Krishna conscious means I have to give up my occupation. I have to give up my family life. No. It means we have to execute these in the spirit of detachment. In the spirit of detachment, realizing that everything is the property of Krishna. I am also the property of Krishna. It's my duty to engage whatever Krishna has given me in his service. You see? Then that is detachment. I may be attached to my wife, I may be attached to my husband, but if I see that they are nicely engaged in serving Krishna, then that is detachment. I may be attached to my country, but if I preach to my countrymen and try to convince them to take up Krishna consciousness, that is detachment. So we do not follow the artificial path of detachment of the Mayavadis. Brahma Sochom Jagan Mitchal. This spiritual world is truth, spirit is truth, and matter is false. No. Matter is also an energy of the Lord. Paraprakriti and aparaprakriti. They are both the Lord's prakriti. So how it can be false? Just like here in Germany, you have the universities and you have the prisons. They are both government institutions. You can't say that the universities are real and the prisons are false. No. Both are true. They are factual. The university is there and the prison is also there. So, in the same way, spirit is true and matter is also true. We simply have to engage everything in Krishna's service. That is the perfection of detachment. And how do you cultivate detachment? When your very nature is to be attached, how is it possible? That is not difficult. You simply become more and more and more attached to Krishna. And then param drishvanda vartate, because you're getting higher taste by your Krishna attachment, then naturally material attachments go away. If you get some better thing, the inferior quality thing, you will lose your interest. Every child, when they're growing up, they're very, very attached to their toys, their fire truck, you know, etc. But you see, when they become adult, they're still attached to their toys. Maybe if they're mentally retarded. Of course, they take on new series of toys. They have a saying that he who dies with the most toys wins. You know, a Learjet, etc., etc. But the fact is, a little child, he grows up and he loses interest in his toys. It's not that he's taught, son, you have to become detached from your toys. There's never any training given to the child. Now you must detach yourself from your toys. No. He simply takes on new attachments. And the old attachments naturally go away. So we have to transcendentalize all of our attachments. Instead of being attached to non-devotees, we have to become attached to devotees. So how do you become attached to the Lord's devotees? You serve them with love. Master the art of loving reciprocation with Vaishnavas. In that way, you'll become very attached to the devotees, and the non-devotee association will not appeal to you anymore. Because that kind of loving reciprocation based on the original, eternal identity of the living being cannot exist between persons who are completely ignorant of the actual identity of the self. This detachment is easy when you have the attachment. So there's so many wonderful, wonderful ways to become attached, just like here, in this wonderful community. It's so easy to become attached to this beautiful deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, the beautiful altar, the beautiful deity of Prabhupada. There's so many wonderful things here, so nice arrangements. We become very attached to this worshiping in this wonderful room. You see? Everything nice, nice prasadam, nice music, nice aromas. All of our senses can become very attached to this wonderful nectarian transcendental atmosphere. So that's the example. And all over the world, if one is attached to traveling, then you can go to holy places like Vrindavan or Mayapur. Instead of traveling to some nonsense place like Disney World, you can go to Krishna World, Mayapur. Take bath in the Ganges. Relish the sweet kirtan. Bow down at the feet of Sri Panchatattva and beg their mercy for Krishna prema. In this way, we have so many wonderful, wonderful ways that we can become very, very attached. Actually, the original object of attachment in this movement is Prabhupada. That's the original attachment. The young boys and girls there, 22nd Avenue, they were very, very attached to Swamiji. He was so wonderful. In the beginning, no one even knew what the philosophy was. They just knew that Swamiji says this. That's all they knew. Swamiji said. They didn't know why they were doing it, except that Swamiji said. But of course, Prabhupada wanted us to come to the platform of deep philosophical understanding. Someone could argue, well, what does Swamiji know? He's just an old man. He just brainwashed you. Someone could make argument against in that way. So actually, Prabhupada's greatness is he did not give his own words. He's simply repeating without any adulteration the original teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Perfectly giving without any addition or subtraction. Now someone may agree or disagree with our Krishna consciousness philosophy, but if they look at it objectively and open-mindedly, they have to see that at least we're following without any deviation what's in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. They may accept, they may not accept, but at least they have to admit what you're doing is consistent with the Bhagavad Gita. It's consistent with the teachings of Krishna. If Krishna is right, then you're right, and if Krishna is wrong, then you're wrong, they could say. So that's a fact. What we're doing is 100% consistent with the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to find fault with what we're doing with our practice, then we have to find fault with what Krishna instructed to Arjuna. Was Krishna wrong? Well, according to Arjuna, Krishna was not wrong. We are following the pathway of Arjuna. Arjuna understood, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, he understood that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, and that his teachings are also the Supreme Absolute Truth. So we are following that pathway that Arjuna has shown by his sublime example. And the result is we are tasting nectar like anything. We are experiencing nectar unlike any happiness that was ever to be tasted in this material existence. That's a fact. Otherwise, how we can go on? I've been practicing Krishna consciousness now, 35 years. Since 1971. There is no taste like this in the material world. It does not exist. There is no taste like this. Every other taste is imitation only. There's no taste like this. So it's actually easy to become detached from material sense gratification because it doesn't come anywhere near close to the flavor of Krishna consciousness. The sweet flavor of Krishna consciousness. Nothing competes with it. There is no competition. Even that which is most pleasurable in this material world, maitun. What does the Bhagavatam say about maitun? Maitunadi grihamedi sukham mitucham. That maitun means sexual intercourse. You see? That which is considered most pleasurable thing in this world. And Freud said the whole world spins around this sex desire. Prabhupada said, yes, that's right. Material world, everything spins on this pleasure, this principle of sex pleasure. But even that pleasure in which the whole material world is spinning, hituccham, Bhagavatam says, simply insignificant. 10th class at best. Hituccham. So, how that sex pleasure can become insignificant? That is because the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, the pleasure of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is billions of times more satisfying than any material pleasure. That's why. Someone may say, well, I'm not tasting it. When I chant, I get bored, I fall asleep. Well, that means you're chanting with the fences. You're still committing nama para. If you will carefully learn how to avoid the 10 offenses while you're chanting, then you will taste a pleasure which is inconceivable. A pleasure that will be far, far beyond anything you could have ever conceived of in your wildest dreams. That much pleasure you will get from the holy name. So do not doubt this Harinam, the holy names of Krishna. Do not doubt for a minute the unlimited oceans of nectar which can be tasted simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This will give you, the holy names will give you the ability to engage in devotional service in the mode of detachment and therefore become completely free from a misidentification of the self with the material body In this way, there'll be no more quivering qualities for the living being. You become very solid, very solidly attached on the transcendental platform. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
You said that if we are attached to wife or husband and this and he is engaged in devotional service, it means attachment. Mm-hmm. I understood what you did.
What is the question? Speak louder.
If we are attached to husband,
yes,
and husband is engaged in devotional service, it
yes,
means detachment.
Yes, if you're that is a form of detachment. If you're attached to someone who is detached, then that is also a form of detachment. By the mercy of his detachment, you're automatically detached. Just like one may be attached to Vaishnavas, also to Guru, these attachments are detachment. Because you're attached to someone who is detached, that is another form of detachment. In other words, wherever you're attached to, that you want to become like them. So if your husband is detached and you're attached to him, then you will cultivate detachment just as he is cultivating detachment. You will also cultivate. You see? So to be attached to someone who is detached, that is very good. Because then you will also become detached. You want to develop the same qualities that they have. So when you worship and admire the detachment of your husband, then you will also want to be detached, just like him. Any more questions?
My experience is that even if I sit in front of Narasimhadev and chant my rounds and I pray that he removes my attachments, that he helps me because I'm helpless. Still, I think of Maya. You know, even if I if I look on Narasimhadev, still in my mind is attachment. What is the best remedy for this?
So you find that even while you, I should put my hearing aids in again. So you find that even while you're trying to cultivate detachment by chanting, you're still finding your mind is attached. Yeah. So your question is how to get out of it? Yeah. Well, you just have to find more and more ways to become more and more attached. One nice point is that any devotional activity is absolute. Whether it's chanting, whether it's cleaning, any devotional activity we do, they're all on the absolute platform. So if you can increase your ability in any area, whether it's writing, whether it's singing, whether it's playing the mudranga, whether it's chanting your rounds, whether it's collecting money, whatever you may do for Krishna, if you will try to improve the quality of that particular activity, then that will spill over, because it is transcendental. It will spill over to all other devotional activities as well. So if you're finding that that in your chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you're not getting that attachment and that detachment that you should be getting, then you should try to increase your focus on the name, and when you're doing other activities, you should try to do them with more devotion also. If everything that you're doing throughout your 24 hours, you're trying to do it with more and more devotion, then naturally that will manifest in your chanting of your japa also. You understand? Consciously try to increase your absorption in chanting and also your other devotional activities. Try to do everything better for Krishna. Every single activity, whether it's reading, try to read with more focus, with more devotion. Every single activity you're doing, try to do it better for Krishna. And the end result of someone who's 24 hours a day trying to do everything in a more Krishna conscious way at every minute throughout their day, that will definitely manifest in your japa. So every devotional activity feeds every other devotional activity. Your chanting, the quality of your chanting will feed you in terms of being able to do your service better. And by trying to do your service better, that will feed your ability to chant better. So everything enhances everything if you're sincerely trying to cultivate pure bhakti. There's so many, for chanting, there's so many wonderful songs. So many wonderful prayers. It's like Chanadapi Sanichena. You can meditate on Shikshastakam. So many nice things to, you know, tools we have at our, you know, at our disposal for chanting with more devotion. We have that song by Bhaktivedanta Thakur. Kabe Habe Bolo Sedi Namar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kabe Habe Bolo Sedi Namar. So we see how the acharyas are intensely hankering for that day when Shuddha Nam will manifest on their lips. Actually, they already have Shuddha Nam, but they are showing us what our mood should be. If you're feeling very bad at all, I don't have Shuddha Nam. My mind's going here, going there. Take advantage of that feeling, that lamentation of not having Shuddha Nam, to beg for it. Kabe habe bolo sedi namar. Like Bhaktivinoda is showing. When will I get Shuddha Nam? When will the pure name come to me? When will I develop that pure chanting? So in this way, if you're consciously, constantly endeavoring in all ways to perfect your devotional activities, do you think Krishna will not reciprocate with them? That same Krishna who is manifest as Hare Krishna mantra, do you think he will not reciprocate? Of course he will reciprocate. You simply have to make the endeavor, and then the result will come. Gradually, in degrees, as your sincere desire to perfect this bhakti science gradually increases, to that extent you will taste the nectar of fixed consciousness on the holy names. Questions more? Okay, we'll stop here. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.